welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, your host, and as always, I'm glad you've joined us. I hope everybody had a festive and relaxing Thanksgiving holiday weekend. This is really my favorite part of the year, this gap between Thanksgiving and the end of the year. Everything seems to sparkle just a little bit. So I hope that you are taking part in all the festivity and having a great time. Here's where we want to begin today. And it's a few weeks ago when we had our midterm elections on November 8th. And because of the outcome of those elections, when next year begins, 2023, for the first time in 40 years, Democrats are going to control not only the governor's mansion, but also both houses of the legislature. That's right. Both the state Senate and the state House of Representatives will have Democratic majorities. 1983 was the last time that was the case. But should this really have been much of a surprise? Yeah, in recent memory, Republicans had dominated control in our legislature, but they really did that with the help of gerrymandering, the process of redrawing voter districts every 10 years in a way that helps whatever party happens to be in power. For decades here in Michigan, we allowed politicians to choose their constituents rather than having citizens choose the way that they wanted to be represented. All you need to do is look back 8 years ago to 2014, a year when Michigan voters cast 30,000 more ballots for Democrats in the state House, yet Republicans held a 63-47 advantage to see how insane that system was. It was really absolutely disenfranchising lots of people. Now, later in the program, we're going to talk with some of the independent commissioners who are now involved in the redistricting process to get their take on how they feel their first effort at maps performed in the first election. We really want to get to what these maps produce, what they thought they would produce, and what they expect to be different, perhaps, next time. This is a learning process, and I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind, that this is not something that was going to happen one time. It's going to happen over and over and over again, and we should get better and better and better at it. But it's absolutely true that in the very first cycle after redistricting, it was possible for Democrats, who typically in the last couple of decades at least have gotten more votes statewide for the legislature than Republicans, would actually be able to control the chambers. Before we get to that issue, though, we want to continue to look at how the changes are affecting our elected representatives, what Democrats in the legislature are seeing, and what they plan to do with their new majorities when they take their seats in 2023. And we want to start with Jeremy Moss, who is a state senator who was reelected for a second term. He is serving his first term right now, representing the 11th State Senate District, which lies in Oakland County. And we want to talk about Oakland County in particular, which used to be a Republican stalwart here in Michigan, a place that Republicans always saw as key to statewide victory. It has really become much bluer. All of the local county offices in Oakland County are held by Democrats now, and in statewide races, it goes blue way more often than it goes red. State Senator Jeremy Moss, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks, Stephen, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So let's start with your goals for the upcoming term in the state Senate. As I said, you were reelected to a second term. Democrats are going to be in control. I think there are a lot of competing interests pulling at people's shirt sleeves saying, hey, it's our turn. Let us get some of these things done. But of course, you can't do everything all at once, and there's going to have to be some prioritization. Give us a sense of how that effort and that process is taking place.
Sure, and I'll add even on a layer to what you said, that this is the first time Democrats are in control of the legislature and the governor's office for the first time in 40 years. But I think it was Zach Gorchow from Gongwer who calculated since 1855, Democrats have had a trifecta only 6 years. So, you know, this is historic in the sense that we're taking the majority for the first time in decades, but we haven't had many opportunities in the state's history to govern like this. But I think that our priorities really are outlined by the voters directly from this past election cycle, particularly on a few fronts. Number one, they obviously voted to enshrine reproductive freedom into our Constitution. And so I think one of the most immediate things I think we can all hopefully embrace is getting rid of that cruel and outdated 1931 abortion felony and sending that repeal to the governor's desk. The second thing that voters embraced across the aisle, you don't get to these numbers of support with Democrats alone. This is Democrats and Republicans and independents who came together to protect voting rights. And so one of the things that the legislature will be tasked with implementing is shepherding this early vote. So we'll have, I think, about 9 days of early voting here in the state of Michigan as a result of the passage of the ballot proposal protecting voting rights. And we will have to implement that and make sure that it operates and functions to the benefit of the voter. And then lastly, one of the things, again, that's a charge from the voters directly is ethics, restoring ethics here in the state of Michigan. We've seen scandal after scandal in this Republican-led legislature due to a lack of oversight and accountability from legislators. So voters also voted to require that lawmakers create a financial disclosure law so that you know what we're voting on and that it doesn't necessarily, it's only put up because it would benefit the financial interests of a lawmaker. We need to be voting on bills that benefit everyone in the state of Michigan.
Yeah. So as you're thinking about those priorities, what's the conversation among the three different parts of the legislative process, the governor's office, the Senate, and the House? One of the things that always kind of tickles me at least a little bit about politics in this state and certainly other places this is true as well, but it seems to happen pretty frequently here, is that one party controlling everything doesn't always mean that everybody gets along. And I'm reminded of the last few years of Governor Rick Snyder's administration when he said to me that there was nothing he could get out of the state legislature anymore, that he felt like they were his opposition in some ways, even though they were Republicans. I wonder if you're starting to see how that kind of dynamic will come together in January among Democrats.
Well, it remains to be seen, and I don't disagree with that analysis, but I don't know that it's necessarily a function of a party that's in full control or where the state of the Republican Party currently is, where the Republican Party is so divided between former conservatives and this new Trumpism in the Republican Party, because Democrats have been pretty united, actually, I would say, at least in the state of Michigan over these last several years. And I think that's one of the factors that led us to this historic majority, is that we were all really in the same boat, paddling in the same direction. So right now we've hit the ground running, really in sync with one another. And obviously, you know, I could be on the show in a year and tell you another tale, but I really feel like we're starting off strong, communicating with one another with all of these pent up priorities that we've all been pushing for the last 40 or so years. So we are looking right now together at what legislation could be passed that is both number one, popular, and number two, improves people's lives. And I think when we start from there, hopefully there won't be so much dissension. And honestly, I hope we can bring some of those Republicans on board. I've served in the legislature since 2014. So in this pre-Trump era and this post-Trump era. And I know that there have been Republicans who have wanted to have nothing to do with Trumpism. So we're ready to govern and bring them along on many of these priorities that it's been a far conservative, ultra-right leadership in the legislature that has prevented from moving forward.
I'm talking with Jerry Moss. He's a state senator from right now the 11th district in southern Oakland County. just reelected to a second term in the Senate. He will represent a newly drawn district going forward. We're talking about what Democrats are likely to do in January of 2023 when they take control of the state Senate and the state House for the first time in tandem for a really long time. It was 1983 was the last time that was true, and that they also had control of the governor's mansion. We're talking about what they will put first on that list of things that they'd like to do. We'd love to hear from you as well during this conversation. Give us a call and let us know what your priorities are for the newly Democratic legislature in Lansing. What are the issues that you want representatives to tackle in the upcoming term? Also, give us a call if you're a resident of Oakland County. In a second, we're going to talk with Jeremy about Oakland County and how it is changing dramatically in terms of its demographics and therefore also its politics. It is not the same place it was just 8 or 10 years ago in terms of electoral outcomes. It is becoming a much bluer place, which is making it much harder for Republicans to win there, and as a result, to win statewide. Oakland County is, after all, the second largest county here in our state. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation that way. Jeremy, I do want to give you a chance to talk about Oakland County and its importance in statewide elections. But first, I want to talk about your new district. Everybody's district is going to be different this time because of decennial redistricting. We did have citizens control that process this time instead of politicians. There are a lot of conflicting views about how that all played out. But I want to give you a chance to talk about how it played out for you and what this new district looks like and maybe how it's different from the one that you represent right now.
Sure, and we can even go back to 2015 when I introduced legislation alongside my then colleague in the State House, John Hoadley, to create this redistricting commission. I heard you say at the top of the program that, you know, we're this 50-50 state in Michigan. But at the time, we had a state Senate that was 38 members, 27 of whom were Republicans and 11 were Democrats. So it was the most gerrymandered legislative chamber in the country. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure that there were fair lines, not drawn by the majority party, but by this independent commission. Obviously, voters took that on to their own charge and created this commission in 2018. So currently, my district was typically the one Democratic district in Oakland County, and we can definitely talk about how Oakland County is changing. So they packed in all of the Democrats at their southern end of the county to create a Democratic district that I currently represent, which includes my hometown Southfield and Lathrop Village, Farmington on the west side, and Oak Park, Huntington Woods, Ferndale, and 11 communities total in southern Oakland County. What they did was they flipped the district essentially from an east to west corridor to a north to south corridor. So I'm that telegraph corridor of Oakland County. I do have a portion of Northwest Detroit, but it's essentially Southfield, Bloomfield, and Pontiac. And I'm sure you have more questions to talk about the shift in Oakland County, but my goodness, when knocking doors this summer in Bloomfield, that tells the story of Oakland County. I had people, when I was knocking doors, tell me, listen, after January 6th, I can never vote for a Republican again. And I had folks that say, we don't do lawn signs, but this year we are. Please put one on our lawn. So really, if you look at the shift of where people have just kind of rejected this fringe element of the Republican Party, maybe they don't say they're Democrats, but they're certainly voting for Democrats. It's definitely been in that Bloomfield area, which is now in my current district.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. Let's start today with Leslie in Hazel Park. Leslie, are you there? Leslie, you need to turn your radio down. Okay. Leslie, call us back. Turn the radio down and call us back. We'll get you on. Let's go to John in Novi. John, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Stephen.
Hey.
Yes, I just wanted to say, as a Michigan voter who's struggled with feeling like his vote counts, matters, that I'm happy to see this independent redistricting commission lead to a much more representative legislature reflective of the will of the voters. I appreciate this conversation, and I hope we can find ourselves talking a little deeper into topics such as ranked choice voting as a statewide issue.
Yeah. John, I really appreciate the call and that perspective, and you're right. Ranked choice voting and a number of other kinds of voting reforms, I think, are going to get a little more attention in Michigan over the next couple of years. If I think you can read the tea leaves a bit from about 2018, when we really did start to reform the way that that people can participate in the democratic process through elections. Jeremy Moss, I want to give you a chance to talk about what John's talking about here, but also to talk about Oakland County in particular and how dramatically different it is really going.
Yeah, and in terms of voting reforms, I think we've seen ranked choice voting operate throughout the country and how you're not voting for the lesser of two evils. People are able to actually rank who they want their second vote to go to if the person who they primarily voted for just didn't accumulate enough support. Another system that's interesting to look at is what California does. Instead of having a Democratic primary and a Republican primary, what they do is they have the top two candidates emerge, regardless of party, and compete in November, so that person has to get 50% plus of the vote and truly represent a majority interest of the district. But back home here in Oakland County, I first got involved in kind of campaign politics with Brenda Lawrence back maybe 15 years ago, and we just celebrated her retirement from Congress. But I look at that Brenda Lawrence campaign for Oakland County Executive in 2008 as kind of a guide of where we've been and where we're going. Nobody challenged Brooks Patterson for Oakland County Executive. And when Brenda Lawrence did, she laid the map down of where Democrats can compete. She lost, but obviously went forward with a great career in public service. But she put herself out there to at least mark on the map where can we grow? Where are there opportunities? And in that year, we actually flipped two of our countywide seats for the very first time, including electing a county prosecutor and a county treasurer. And from there, each countywide office, as you mentioned, with the exception of sheriff, has flipped from Republican control to Democratic control. And I think, as I've said, it's the voter that has been fed up with the extremism in the Republican Party, may not necessarily call themselves a Democrat, but definitely votes that way. And it's not just Oakland County. I think the next big story in Michigan is what's going on in Grand Rapids and Kent County, which just elected a Democrat for Congress for the first time in decades. And I think you are going to see Detroit and Oakland County and Grand Rapids really be able to have a say in the direction of our state, because it's this coalition of strong Democrats and independent-minded voters who are looking forward and not trying to relitigate the 2020 election again every cycle and every cycle.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. You can also get into the conversation here through Twitter. If you hashtag Detroit Today, we can work you into the conversation that way. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about the politics in Lansing that are about to unfold in January. Also, how politics have changed here in Southeast Michigan so dramatically. Oakland County now a pretty solidly blue jurisdiction. What does that mean for the future of the Republican Party? Let's go next to Leslie in Hazel Park. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was wondering if there's any kind of strong, or at least get the foot in the door for the limited, if not eliminated, magazines, the Rapid Fire magazine, additions to the to the rifles that that are sold easily and gotten a hold of, and if there's been any recent legislation on the Asian carp situation in the Great Lakes?
Yeah, great questions. We are getting lots of questions about specific issues, Jeremy, but let's start with those two. Gun control, with Democrats in charge in Lansing, are there things that could be done? I remember after the shootings in Oxford, there were discussions about some gun control things that didn't go very far because you had two different parties in charge. And then this question of the Great Lakes and invasive species.
Yeah, no, and we can definitely start with gun safety legislation. It was back in 2016 when I was a state House member that we formed a gun violence prevention caucus. So since 2016, 6 years, we've offered solutions that would have been able to be proven to reduce gun deaths and injuries, including strengthening background checks here in the state of Michigan, reducing magazine capacity, as Leslie mentioned, that if, God forbid, there is a shooting, at least there's a break in the action where survivors can flee and where law enforcement or others can take action to prevent it from going on. We've also introduced red flag laws. After Parkland in Florida passed a red flag law so that if somebody's on the radar of law enforcement and they pose an immediate harm to themselves or to others, law enforcement or family members can petition the court for a temporary restraining order from that person from possessing firearms. Mm-hmm. And then also very, very relative to the Oxford situation, safe storage. That if a home has a minor in it, that a firearm has to be locked up safely. And unfortunately, we saw that was not the case in that horrific shooting here in Oakland County. So we've put forward the solutions. These solutions, again, are popular. Some 90% of those that are polled support these measures. That includes responsible gun owners. And it seems to have been only legislative Republicans that have been holding these efforts up. So, yes, I think the governor said it during one of her gubernatorial debates that we need to make sure that we put second graders ahead of these Second Amendment talking points. And so that's something we're looking forward to. And then on environmental issues, no doubt. There's a whole bevy of things that we wanted to implement as good stewards of our environment that we just haven't been able to get done with the current majority. And I think now we have a department that shares those values and a legislature that can protect our air, water, and land as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Jeremy Moss, state senator from the 11th district right now, soon to be in a different district in Oakland County because of redistricting. Thanks so much for being here with us on Detroit Today.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
Yes. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue looking back at the elections. But this time, we're going to think about how the new maps performed this election with two of the commissioners who were tasked with drawing those maps. We're also going to want to continue to hear from you on the phones. What did you think of the redistricting effort? What do you think now that the election is over after the very first cycle under those new maps? Are we on the right path here in Michigan, letting citizens decide how they will be represented? And should we make some changes to improve that process? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.